and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
We did not move that yet. Next meeting, we'll have that moved.
Okay. Anyone in the audience have anything at this time for the commissioner?
Mark Havercost, 7356 Weathersfield Drive in Westchester. Good morning, President Furman, members of the commissioners.
Good morning.
You remember, may remember last Thursday, I had addressed you concerning one of the payments to that was approved for media boot camp for Children's Services, and how I thought the $2,200 was an unnecessary expense. Well, I did a little bit more checking, and I've come across Children's Services payroll, and I find out that not only are we paying $2,200 to send someone to a training class in New York, but this person costs taxpayers over $90,000 a year. And it's my belief that if these separate agencies are going to employ public relations people, they either need to have the experience to do the job, or they need to find somebody else at a much better price to do the job. Because I really think that amount is extremely excessive. I think the pay for that, for what we're getting for that, is excessive. And I only say that because I've heard Michael Fox tell us that every dollar is needed to save another child from dying. And I don't think $90,000 PR people or multi-thousand-dollar trips to New York accomplish that goal. And as I look today's agenda, I see $100,000 for Children's Services for substance abuse services. And I really just question if anybody really knows what you're getting for $100,000 in the way of substance abuse. I didn't know that those kind of things Children's Services actually dealt with. So I know it's not the commissioner's goal to micromanage these agencies, but I really think that you're going to need to spend some more hands-on time with their budgets and the way they spend money and the way they employ people.
Mark, we are looking at a qualified firm to look into all of Children's Services. Actually, we're going to turn it inside out, bottom up, everything we can. To look into all the contracts as well as the manpower, how that fits with Job and Family Services. So we're in the process of taking a look at all that. So
I would just hope that it's sooner rather than later that we don't get ourselves into one of these quandaries where a year from now our budget is short and we're trying to figure out how to get rid of people or buy people out and be stuck in what we've been stuck in for some years now. So, thank you.
Yeah, we've got Tim. Can you give us an update on the RFP to go out for that, for the services to completely analyze all the, not only Children's Services but Jobs and Family Services, CSEA, and Workforce?
Sure, Commissioners. My hope is to get that out last week, and I did not. So I'm going to get it out by Tuesday. But anyway, that has been in the works for about a couple of weeks, preparing that request for proposal for someone to come in and do the organizational analysis and restructuring and reviewing the process flow and the contracts of the various departments within that agency. So we should be able to get that out by tomorrow.
So, Mark, in regards to your comments, I mean, that's exactly what we're in the process of doing. And we're going to be looking at all those contracts and all the employees and looking at combining some jobs and services. and we'll have the answers to every detailed answer to every one of your questions, and a lot more coming shortly. It's in the works.
Anyone else have anything in the audience for the commissioner? Ma'am?
Good morning.
Address,
I've never had the pleasure of your acquaintance on a personal basis. My name is Johnny Small. And it's kind of ironic that you were discussing the children's services when I walked in, because that's exactly why I'm here, too.
May we have your address, please, ma'am?
My address is in Missouri. I am up here trying to help my daughter. Her address is 6039 Boy Mill Drive, Fairfield, Ohio. And I've been up here since the 2nd of January trying to deal with a menagerie that they call Children's Services here. Unfortunately, my computer ate what I intended to had typed off to say this morning, so I'm going to kind of wing it and try to make my points as slow as I can. This, by the way, is my grandson. This is the subject of all the problems. And as you can see, he's bright and healthy and well cared for. The lady holding him there is my daughter. But I come up here, she called me, I believe it was on the 4th of December, and told me that Children's Services had taken her son. I said, well, Peta, did they have a court order? No, ma'am, they didn't. And I called and I found out, make a long story short, they picked up my grandson. They made initial contact with my, and by the way, before I get any further, just so you know, I'm not a nut running around here. I am a certified police officer. And they picked up my grandson on the about 11:30 at night. But their initial contact with my daughter had been around 4:30 or 5 that afternoon. And when they came to her house, they accused my son-in-law of having molested my grandson. And they told my daughter that if she wanted to keep her son, she would have to move out and take him to Children's Hospital to be examined. She did all the above. And she was at the Children's Hospital with him. The child was given a clean bill of health there, and the Children's Services showed up and basically kidnapped my grandson, because from 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon to 11 or 11:30 at night, they had ample time to get a court order. They did not obtain a court order. And when I asked them about this, they said, oh, that's an emergency police removal. Well, I am a police officer. I've done emergency removals, and that is not.
Where are you a police officer?
I'm certified in the state of Missouri and the state of Texas.
What is the child's name again?
Jacob Medding.
Last name spelled?
M-E-D-I-N-G. And I don't want to type too much of your time, because I've got several people that would like to speak to this issue that could not be here today. I just kind of want to open the door. And I'm going to ask for time for this coming Thursday from you. The point is, they picked up my grandson, and when I questioned the people over the phone, they said that my son-in-law had admitted to having fondled his son. And it was supposedly, their initial complaint came from a supposed internet conversation. Okay, but when I questioned them, and I questioned the worker that was involved, she stated, I said, do you have this so-called confession? No, ma'am, I don't. Have you ever seen this so-called confession? No, ma'am, I haven't. Do you have this so-called internet conversation? No, ma'am, I don't. Did you ever see it? No, ma'am, I didn't. Did you hear my son-in-law admit to having fondled his son? No, ma'am, I didn't.
What's this person's name?
Alicia Rowland. Furthermore, I've got a recording where she testified in the so-called ex parte hearing to get a court order, the next day, of course, where she stated that both my son-in-law and daughter had grown up in foster care, and both had been molested in foster care. None of this is true. And we've got the documentation to back it up. And then after, as though time rocked on here a little bit, we finally went to court on the 29th of January, and we had it all agreed with the Children's Services that they were going to let Peta go back to Missouri with me, where, you know, where my job is, where all of her, you know, support system is, because they said she couldn't have any contact with Tim, and he couldn't work because he was on house arrest and all this and that. So she was going back where we could help her, and it was all agreed. We go to court, and they changed their mind.
Was Tim on house arrest, you say?
Yes, he is on house arrest. They won't even let him work. They've got nothing on him. Even Mike Fox tried to get the so-called confession and all this and that from the DA's office. They were all refused. They refused everything. They had nothing.
What is Tim's last name?
Metting. I know it's kind of strange, but they are married. That's not the norm this day and age, but they are married. But the bottom line is, then when we go, when she finally gets the opportunity, we work out for the child to come home, we go back to court, and the DA gets up in court, and she had a psych eval done, and psychologist or psychiatrist said that there wasn't anything wrong with Peta. He didn't understand why they took the child in the first place. He wasn't going to even recommend her for counseling. Well, they withheld the report from us, would not let us see it, said that they didn't have it. But yet when they get in court, the DA stands up, or the prosecuting attorney stands up and says, according to the psychology report, Miss Metty needs to be going to this non-offending parents counseling group. But that's not what the report said at all when we finally did get a copy of it. We didn't rebut it then because we didn't have a copy to rebut. They had refused to, and they have repeatedly refused to give us any, they're supposed to give us the summaries, their reports and all this prior to any hearings. They've repeatedly refused to do that. And then when we went back, we again come to an agreement on the 12th of March to go in. It was just supposed to be just, you know, go in, basically going through the motions because everything was supposedly agreed. We're sitting out there and they had their little ex parte hearing before court, which they've done every time. And the next thing I know, her attorney comes out and informs her that what she's going to have to do is go into court and testify that Jacob was an abused child, name her husband as the perpetrator, and she would get, and in return for her testimony, she would get custody of her son and be allowed to go wherever she wanted. Well, Peta says, no, I can't do that because I don't know that to be so. And I'm not going to commit perjury. He says, well, you're not going to get your son, and you're not going to be allowed to leave if you don't. She says, well, I'm still not going to do it. So he gets up and he goes back inside the courtroom. A few minutes, the assistant prosecuting attorney, Dan Phillips, comes out. And he says, here's the deal. You go in, you testify that Jacob was an abused child, you name your husband the perpetrator, in return, you get custody of your son, and you can go anywhere you want to go, Missouri or anywhere else. And she says, I can't do that because I don't know this to be a fact. I have no evidence of that. Nobody's shown me evidence. And I never heard him say that, and I never saw anything. He says, well, if you don't do that, then we're going to get another court date, and we're going to call witnesses, and we're going to drag this thing out, and you're never going to get to leave.
Who placed Tim on house arrest?
Judge Oney, I believe.
Is there a charge?
Yes. After this is really the kicker on the deal. Now, I talked to the interviewing officer, and I asked her, I said, if you believe this man was really guilty of this, why in the world would you turn him loose on the public? That was my question as an officer. She says, well, I gave him my word. You did what? I gave him my word. You gave him your word to what? I gave him my word if he'd give me a statement, I'd let him go home. They brought it to grand jury one time. They continued it. They brought it to grand jury the second time, and they had subpoenaed my daughter to testify. But unfortunately, my grandson had been sick since we got him out of foster care. When we picked him up from foster care, he had 105 fever. 105.
Who placed him in foster care?
Alicia Rowland did. And so he was in the hospital. We took him to the hospital like five times in about 2.5 weeks, trying to get whatever he had cleared up, and nobody knew what it was.
How long was the child in foster care?
I'm sorry, sir?
How long was the child in
foster care? From December the 4th until January the 29th. Okay. And then on the 12th, like I said, on the 12th, she was supposed to be free to leave with him. And the way I understand it, someone in the supervisors of the in Children's Services went behind Mike Fox's back and nixed the deal and said, didn't want it that way. And that is hearsay. I have no evidence of that.
So there is a court hearing on this matter?
She goes back again for what the paper says is an adjudication hearing on dependency and abuse on the 19th of May. Then they've got two more hearings set in June and July.
If you have attorneys involved and there's courts involved for the hearings on this matter, what is it you're asking of us?
I'm saying that you have got people, workers that are lying in court on the stand to, it's just like on the ex parte hearing. This would have never come to this if Alicia Rowland hadn't gone up and lied in court under oath and told the judge a pack of lies to incite him to gain illegal custody of my grandson. I'm saying that you've got people holding children when they have no evidence to hold them.
Who's your daughter's attorney?
Bill Makita.
At any time did you talk to, or did your daughter talk to Bill Morrison, our ombudsman?
Yes, and he is one of the people that is wanting to speak to this matter on Thursday. There are several people. I'm just opening the door here, gentlemen. I'm not giving you the whole story because I'm sure you don't have the time right at the moment to hear everything. I'm just giving you the top layer, the tip of the iceberg.
Well, my only question is if this is already in court and you have attorneys involved.
The point here is it's not got anything to do with the attorneys except for the prosecuting attorney's office. When you have a prosecuting attorney that walks out and instructs somebody to lie on the stand and threatens them if they don't, then that, I would think, would fall under your jurisdiction of things. When you have caseworkers that get on the stand and lie, when you have prosecuting attorneys that stand up in court and lie.
Have you mentioned this to your attorney?
Yes.
And what's
but
this?
To be honest with you, our attorney's not much. Okay? That's just putting it very bluntly and honestly.
We don't have the authority to tell the courts what to do.
I understand that, but you do have the authority to investigate Children's Services and the prosecuting attorney.
Well, the prosecuting attorney would be under the authority of the prosecuting attorney, which would be Robin Piper. And that, again, would be up to the courts to determine if there's any mention of lying on the stand or what.
It's not only that. This is just one of the things, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just like, you know, I'm needing to go back to Missouri. I've got other issues I need to take some time off and deal with. And the Children's Services, we've gone to them to try to obtain babysitting for my daughter. We get nothing. They won't do anything. They say, oh, well, we'll try to get something worked out in 2 weeks. Well, my mother is ill now. She's in the hospital right now. 2 weeks from now, she may be dead.
Well, Ms. Small, what I'm saying, we don't really have the authority to tell the courts what to do or to tell the prosecutor what to do. I mean, I don't understand.
It's not about the courts, and it's not, the judge is not the problem here. The court system is not the problem. The children's services is the problem. What they're doing.
You mentioned the prosecuting attorney.
Yes. The idea that the prosecutor can instruct people to lie, threaten them if they don't, that you have children's service. One caseworker knew that she couldn't tell the things that she wanted to tell in court, so she gave false information to the attorney at Lytle.
Mr. President, I'm not comfortable sitting here letting our children's services workers get beat from pillar to post and no response. This is not the proper form.
Yeah, I agree.
There's two sides to every story, and I think we have enough information to investigate this. It's in the court system. It sounds like you have enough issues with enough people that you're dealing with that to go around with for a couple days here, but we can investigate and we will talk to the proper people in our children's services. But let me tell you, by far and large, our children's services department is a good department. Those people are dedicated. They have one thing in mind, and that's the safety of those children.
I believe.
And based on what I've heard here today, I'm not prepared to take your side over theirs. And I'll keep an open mind, but we will. I can assure you one thing: we'll look into it. But I'm really not comfortable here sitting here letting you make this.
I have documentation.
Charges. I don't care what you have. This is not a court. They are not here. We're hearing one side of the story, and I'm not comfortable doing that to our employees.
So that's exactly the reason I was asking.
Yeah, so we will. From my perspective, I suggest we contact our people and look into it, and we'll get back to you.
That's all I can ask. Okay. Like I said, Mr. Morrison had wanted to speak, but he couldn't be here this morning, and he wanted to come next Thursday.
We have the ability to contact Mr. Morrison.
Okay, that'll be good enough. And the thing it is that it's not about just my family. It's about what they're doing with lots and lots of other people too. This is another thing that Mr. Morrison was wanting to speak on. I can't speak in regards to other families because I'm not in their lives. I don't know their situation. But I do know that I've talked to other people that have had problems of this nature. And I do know that we're not the only people.
Thank you, Mrs. Small.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience have anything before the commissioners this time? Yes, ma'am. Your name and address, please, if you would.
My name is Mary Jo Tindall. I'm from Fairborn, Ohio, 444 Warwick Place. I'm the director for our national vocal office here, Victim of Child Abuse Laws. We have received several complaints from your citizens, and we are investigating the county, and I just came to let you know that. Thank you.
What's your agency? What's your work?
Vocal, Victims of Child Abuse Laws.
Have received complaints on what, please?
Problems with the children's services, problems in the courts, due process is being ignored. So we're concerned. We're concerned because we have several families that are complaining. We are and do work with Mike Fox and Bill Morrison, so we're all on the same page. They're very frustrated and they need help too. So I just want to let you know that we're here and we're here to better the community.
Well, let me just say that I don't know Mike. I know Mike Fox fairly well, and I don't think if he's got an issue, he'll be here. He doesn't need anybody to speak for him.
I'm just letting you know that we do.
So
work with him
if he's telling you that, that's a whole other Mike Fox. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you call him?
I intend to do so.
Okay.
Well, you're welcome to the county, and you'll find that we're very open, and you have access to anything you need.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else in the audience have anything for the commission? Go into communications, please.
Certainly. Under travel and training, commissioners are requested to approve a travel request for John Eversole from the Information Services Department for Oracle training in Columbus, Ohio, in the amount of $1,000. Under personnel, the commissioners are asked to approve personnel actions for the county care facility, which includes 4 terminations, 5 new hires, 1 step increase for a Frida Lockabee. This is a 5-year step increase. Their step increases are based upon their anniversary dates at 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years, etc. She's moving from $8.38 an hour to $8.68 an hour, a 30-cent increase, or 3.5%. They also have 3 changes in status, one person going from full-time to part-time, another person going from part-time to full-time, and another individual taking a 6-week maternity leave. And finally, they have 2 people that have changed departments. One person went from as a clerk to the laundry department, and one person went from the laundry department to the housekeeping department without a change in pay. Moving on to Job and Family and Children's Services, we have 3 contracts for approval. The first is a contract with Lifespan for therapeutic services in the amount of $26,000. You're also requested to approve a contract with the Next Right Thing for the purchase of substance abuse services in the amount of not to exceed $100,000. Next is to approve an agreement for counseling and a crisis center for the purchase of mental health services in the amount of $6,000. Moving on to the Butler County Engineer, the engineer asks to award a contract to Barrett Paving in the amount of $457,453 for paving various township roads in Milford, Wayne, and Madison Townships. The engineer requests that you approve an award to J.R. Jurgensen in the amount of $566,759 for west paving of various township roads in Oxford, Riley, Morgan, Ross, and Hanover Townships. The engineer also requests that you award a contract to Mount Pleasant Blacktopping in the amount of $604,759 for the Bethany Road improvements at Lakota Freshman School. The engineer also requests you approve a special hauling permit number 080502 to Shirley Stevens. They also request to grant another special hauling permit number 080501 to Jason G. Stevens. They request that you grant a special hauling permit to OKIND Inc., which is doing business as Silverhawk, permit number 080503. The engineer also requests that you is requested to establish a speed limit for the State Route 122 and State Route 4 based upon an engineering and traffic investigation, and whereby it's being reviewed that the speed limit of 55 is unrealistic. Finally, under the engineer, approve an agreement addendum with ME Companies for engineering services for the Beckett Road intersection and bike trail improvements. Under miscellaneous, we have the Princeton Road Administration Building, the acceptance of alternative bids for the installation of light poles and fire alarm systems within that building, increasing the total contract for Rapier Electric to $933,000 even.
Before we move on this, on the hauling permits, there's 3 of them here. It was brought up at the Township Trustee dinner the other night that maybe we want to consider a performance bond of some kind by these hauling companies. See if check with the prosecutor. I would like to do it and see if that's something we could do.
Good point.
Because after they're finished and gone, and the roads have suffered some deterioration, and they're finished, they're out of there, and nothing to fall back on. So can we pull these until we could check with the prosecutor's office and see if that's a possibility?
Certainly. So as amended, you know, as presented, with the exception of pulling three requests for special hauling permits to Jason Stevens, Shirley Stevens, and Silverhawk Construction.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Township Trustee Christine Matisak from Liberty Township. Good to see you. Also president of the OKI. Is there anything we can help you with today, or are you just visiting?
Just visiting.
Good to see you. Always welcome, of course. You guys have anything else?
Mm-hmm. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.